Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of John, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll start from verse 1 and read to verse 8. I'll read from verse 1 through 4, and please join me from verse 5 through 8. This is John, this is the words of Jesus as he spoke to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Let's read together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The very words of Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. Well, a very famous word from Jesus, and something that maybe many of you have heard before, and it's so beautiful because it's so simple and easy to understand. However, there are some things that when we look closely to what he's saying, we find something so deep, so rich, and so beautiful. I think the worst thing that could happen to you and me is to be separated from God. The goal of our life as Christians and the goal of God the goal that God has made for us as humans is to be united with him. His disciple Peter said in 1 Peter, he said, we are to be partakers of the divine nature. It means that we are so united with God, we don't become God, but we become those who partake in his eternal, beautiful, uncreated energy and essence. And it's something that we can join. While not losing ourselves, our identity, we still remain ourselves. We become more of ourselves as we are more connected with him. And so the worst thing that could ever happen to us is not to die or to be separated from our bodies, but to be separated from God himself. So, now, three images I want to emphasize today. The first one is the vine. And now, up until this Sunday, throughout this year, from January and this month, we've looked at Jesus saying that he is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who walks with me will never walk in darkness. And then Jesus says that he's the bread of life, right? The bread that comes from heaven. And so, yes, it makes sense. The light of the world. Everybody needs light. You know, light is universal. No one wants darkness. Okay, that makes sense. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that comes from heaven. Yes, bread is fundamental. Whether you eat bread or rice, or even if you are on a, you know, what is it? No carb, non-carb diet, right? You still understand the necessity of bread, right? Yeah. So, okay, Jesus, you're the light, you're the bread, the living water. Yes, yes, and yes. And then Jesus says, I am the vine. Okay? I drink grape juice maybe twice a year, you know, once a month for communion, but the vine, what is that, Lord? Sure, you live in the first century in ancient Israel, and, you know, wine is a very important drink that people have along with water and beer. And Jesus is not going to say, I'm the beer from heaven. Probably not going to say that, but that would be kind of cool. But he says that he's the vine. And so we think, oh, okay. Yeah, so we're the branches and we bear fruit, the fruit of love and joy and happiness and peace, kindness, good. Okay, yeah, so you're the vine and you're the source of life. And we have to be connected to you, right? Maybe that's what we hear. Jesus is the source of life when he says he's the vine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what did Peter, James, John, Simon, Philip, Andrew, Bartholomew, Thad, Simon, and Judas, what did they hear when they heard Jesus say he's the vine? Well, here's something I'd like to show you. When they were hearing Jesus say that he is the vine, maybe some of them thought, he's talking about the psalm, verse 80, where we read it in synagogue and we sing it at our gatherings. It says about God taking Israel out of Egypt and making it the vine. It says in verse 8, Psalm 80, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea. Its shoots as far as the river. And then he's talking about Israel taken out of Egypt and planted in the promised land. Blessing and growing and spreading into the world. In other words, people of Israel thought, God is chosen Israel as his special people to bless the world. The blessings of heaven, the abundance of the kingdom of God, reaches the world through Israel. The problem was, Israel got conquered by Babylon, overthrown. So in verse 12, why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it. Insects from the fields feed on it. And then they pray, return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted. And then here it says, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Israel has the image of a vine that spreads the life of God throughout the world. But also, here it says, Israel has the image of God's sun, that he has risen, he's raised up for himself. Where does that come from? So I think some of Peter and James and John were thinking about that, but then also they were thinking maybe about Isaiah, the prophet. Not only the psalm, but the prophet. And Isaiah says in chapter 5, here's an image that he gives. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up. He cleared it of its stones, planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Isaiah has this image of Israel, the vine, that God not only planted, but he built up the boundaries, the watchtowers. He watered it. He cultivated it. God was the gardener. And he expected a harvest of fruit. But instead, what happened? The governors, the kings, the leaders of the people, they were corrupted, they exploited, they oppressed, they got fat off of the people's hunger, and they got richer while the people got poor, and it says they yielded bad fruit. And so in verse 7, Isaiah chapter 5, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. The people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness but heard cries of distress. Bad fruit. Israel failed their mission to be the blessing of God to all the nations. Look, Israel was supposed to bless Egypt, bless Rome, bless Greece, bless Phoenicia, bless Edom, bless Mesopotamia. They were supposed to be the channel of heaven's great goodness throughout the... Instead, they collapsed in on themselves. So there's another... So... These are the coins of that you found in the first century of Israel. And you can see here, you can see the grapes right there, the fruit. And then all around, you can see the circle. This is the vine. So here's a tree, either a palm tree or an olive tree, symbols for Israel, obviously. And around both of those are the vine. So part of Israel's identity as a nation was the vine. You know how in America there's the eagle, right? That's kind of their image, this great power and independence. And then Japan has the beautiful crane as its symbol of because of its beauty and glory and majesty. And it has the red mark on its head. Israel's identity was to be the vine. Unfortunately, it yielded bad fruit. And so there's one more prophet. His name was Ezekiel. And God said, how is the wood of the vine different from that of a branch of any of the trees? Is wood ever taken from it to make anything useful? After it is thrown on the fire as fuel, and the fire burns both ends and chars the middle. Is it then useful for anything? Go down to verse 6. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. As I have given the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest as fuel for the fire, so will I treat the people living in Jerusalem. I will set my face against them. Although they have come out of the fire will yet consume them when I set my face against them, because they have been unfaithful. Here's the key word, unfaithful. Israel, Babylon has come because you've been unfaithful. The fire has consumed you because you've been unfaithful. And so now they're waiting. They put the vine on their coins. Oh God, restore the vine. Come back and replant the vine. And so they're hoping for the vine. Here's Jesus. Jesus is saying, what? In John chapter 15, I am the vine. I am Israel. I'm the true Israel. I'm the one who brings the blessings of heaven to the world. Where Israel failed, where the kings have become corrupted, I will be faithful. There's no corruption in me. There's no unfaithfulness in me. The mission of God to rescue the world that Israel has failed to do, I have come to fulfill. I am the vine. Are you with it? Can you see that? You see, Peter, James, John, and the rest of the disciples. Oh, I'm a Jew. It's my ethnicity. It's my culture, my heritage, my language. That's what makes me a blessing to the world. No. It's not your accomplishment. It's not your identity in who you think you are. It's your connection to Christ. Peter thought, oh yeah. Simon thought, oh yeah. I'm chosen by God. I'm a part of the chosen race, the kingdom of priests. No. You failed. But Jesus came so that if you put your identity in him, if he is your accomplishment, if he is your honor, if he is your glory, then the blessing of heaven will come through you because of your connection to him. He says he is the vine. So that's the image. The second image, abide. Ah, yes, abide. Okay, Lord, like my cell phone, I have to stay connected, right? If I don't plug my smartphone in at night, when I wake up, it's 2%, right? And then I can do nothing without my smartphone, right? That's what it means, abide, stay connected to my source of life. It's an unlimited source of energy and light and breath. Yeah, that's good. It's not a bad application and interpretation. But what were Peter, James, and John thinking when they heard the word abide? In fact, let's look at John. John, who wrote this. What does he mean when he says abide? Well, let me take a few minutes, about 3 minutes. Let's go through the book of John. And so John in chapter 2 talks about many people seeing Jesus do his ministry, his work, his miracles. And it says in verse 23, many people believed in Jesus when they saw the signs he was doing. And then it says, but Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them. He knew, and it goes on, it says, because he knew their hearts. He knew that they believed in him now, but how about later? So they put their connection to him, but he withheld his connection to them. And we move on. John chapter 3, it's not up there, but you know John chapter 3. Nicodemus, a popular leader, the Pharisee, instead of publicly going to Jesus, he goes at night, privately, because he's afraid of publicly sharing his obedience to Christ. And Jesus gives him a hearing. He says, okay, because Jesus knows Nicodemus is going to stay. He's going to eventually publicly profess his faith. We go to John chapter 6. Jesus has fed 5,000 people with bread, miraculously. And he says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. Oh yeah, Jesus, we're with you. 5,000 plus, maybe 10,000 and more. We are following you, Jesus. And then John chapter 6, he says, yeah, okay, let's see what happens. You are looking for the bread that runs out. Don't work for the bread that expires. Instead, work for the bread that lasts for eternity. In fact, that's me. And he says, in fact, you need to eat my flesh, for my flesh is real food. And you need to drink my blood, for my blood is real drink. And they said, what? And it says in John chapter 6, many people left. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. No longer walked with him. They left. John chapter 8, he's talking to the religious leaders. And he's talking about true disciples. And here's what he says. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And the word there, really, some translator says, you are my true disciples. So if there are true disciples, it means there were fake disciples. There were disciples who had connection with Jesus, but not abiding in Jesus. They will stay with Jesus as long as they had benefit, as long as it was good for them, as long as Jesus made them feel good. But Jesus says, you want to be a true disciple, if you hold to my teaching, that's how you'll know. Are you getting the picture of abide? Right? Let's keep going. John chapter 12. Many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly, publicly acknowledge their faith for fear of being put out of the synagogue. Oh yeah, I'll believe in you, Jesus, at home, but not at work. So this is what John is talking about when he's talking about abiding. The word abide is remain, another translation of that. And so John, you know what? This is John chapter 15. Actually, in John chapter 13, there is the episode about Judas. They're in the dinner. They're having the Last Supper. And Jesus says, Judas, you can go. And what does Judas do? He leaves to go and get 30 shekels of silver, 30 pieces of silver in order to sell Jesus to the government, to the leaders, right? Judas left Jesus. And here is Jesus there. They've left the dinner, and Jesus is telling them, I'm the vine. Some of you have left. One of you has left. But you need to remain in me. And so John, he's writing a letter. And in that first letter, John, 1 John chapter 2, thinking about Judas who left, and thinking about other quote-unquote disciples who left, he says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained, they would have abided with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. What did Jesus mean when he said, I'm the vine, you are the branch, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. I think John was saying, Jesus meant, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have pressure and stress and trial and testing. You're going to have pressure from the outside, from people in your family and from people at work who will test your faith. But if you will remain, if you will hold on, if you will not let go, here's my promise to you. I will abide with you. I will not let go of you. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, all the Father has given to me, I will never lose. You know, in the movies where there's a monster and the monster grabs one of the people, right? He grabs the feet, right? And he's pulling, right? And then the camera is, the angle is from above their head, and they're like, you know, you could see their face and they're trying to hold on. They're holding on to the branch, or they're holding on to, you know, the house or their friend, and you could just see their face. They're just struggling to not let go, to hold on. That's abide. Life is just pulling us away from heaven, from love, from God, from faith, from trust, from church, from the word. And we're just trying to hold on. And so the author of Hebrews says, don't give up. Let us hold firmly to the faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. So yeah, be connected. Stay plugged into Jesus. Abide in him. Find your rest in him. Do your prayer time. Do your Bible reading. Come to church. Be connected with Jesus. Abide in him. Yeah, that's nice. But I think the greatest test in our life is when we go through difficulty, testing, trial, that's how we know if we are true disciples, if we don't give up. I've baptized Japanese, Filipinos, plenty of people on this stage. Some of them are still here. They've held on. They have not given up. Some of them, after being baptized, they have joy. And then it gets difficult. It's not as wonderful as it was at first. And they struggle. And they fade away. Now, I haven't given up. I'm still praying for them. I want to give up. I want to say, God, you take them. I'm done with it. And God says, no. You keep them on your prayer list. It's not, you know, it's not over till it's over. But it's a sad truth that many people fade away. But Jesus promised, abide in me. Don't let go. And after a season, listen, after a season, it may be some seasons. Look, I'll be fully transparent, okay? Full disclosure. I got COVID at Christmas, last Christmas. Listen, I did not want to pray. I was not in my bed, oh, you know, mine is, you know, the Lord Jesus. I was not singing a song. I was not reading a scripture. I was just, this is terrible. Now, I wasn't saying why. I understood why. It's just disease. That's what happens. But I was just like, Lord, I don't want any of this. This is horrible. Yeah. That's how trial is. That's how testing is. You don't feel like rejoicing. You don't feel like it's a pleasure, right? But where are you after? That's the question. Where are you after the disease has passed? After the finances have finally come back? After you've gotten the job? After you've gone through the loneliness? Where are you? Abide. I'm going too long here. This comes into the last image. There's four characters. Did you notice that? There's the vine, Jesus. There's the gardener, the father. The third character is the branch that doesn't produce fruit. And the fourth character is the branch that gets pruned. The third character that doesn't produce fruit, like Ezekiel says, He cuts them off and he throws them into the fire because it's useless. But there's this fourth character that Jesus tells us about that's going through some, not fire, but pruning. So that third character that Jesus says he's going to throw away, I'll read it for you, right? Excuse me. He cuts off, verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Did you see that? He cuts off every branch in me. There were those who are in Christ. There are those who said, I'm connected, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower. They don't bear fruit. And the Father cuts them off. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Yeah. So the question obviously is, are you bearing fruit? Well, what's the fruit? I'll get to that in a minute. Here's a hint. The fruit is righteousness. But are you bearing fruit? And Jesus says, if you're not bearing fruit, here's the thing. For those who have a surface connection, a shallow commitment, who will follow Jesus only when it's good and when it's difficult, sayonara. There's no fruit. There's no abiding. There's nothing. God, Jesus says the Father will send them off. They'll get what they want, which is life away from God. Now, I asked the question, are you bearing fruit? And I know some of the faces are like, I'm sorry, Pastor. If I'm being honest, branches are supposed to grow. I don't even know if I'm growing, let alone bearing fruit, right? Yeah. How about that? I have a word of hope for you. Yeah. It's okay. You bear fruit in season. There's other seasons where the gardener, in his wisdom and love, does some pruning. Are you familiar with pruning? Yeah? There's nothing more pathetic than a pruned tree. You've seen those, right? Yeah? Okay. A tree at winter, there's no leaves. But it's like, yeah, of course there's no leaves. It's winter. It's naked. But a tree in summer or spring, and it's all the leaves are cut off and the gardener has pruned everything, that looks like a sad, pathetic tree, right? But you know, give it one more season, and it's just like, whoosh, glorious. Well, what is the pruning for? And you go ahead, look at your bulletin, look in your Bible. It's an interesting thing. Look at verse 3. This is the strangest verse. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And then verse 4, remain in me. And I, okay, verse 1, I understand. Verse 2, I understand. Verse 4, yes. Why is verse 3 right in the middle? What is that? What does being clean have to do with anything? And not only that, he says, you're already clean. Okay, why? It's hard to understand because it's English. So let me help you with the Greek. The word prune in Greek is the same as the word clean in Greek. So when Jesus says in verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he cleans so that it will be even more fruitful, if you lead it that way. You are already clean, he says. It's the same word. Jesus is saying, look, are you ready? Here's the gospel. If you are truly my disciple, if you not only believe in me, but you are loyal to me all the way through, here's the good news. You're already clean. So then what is the pruning for? What is the pruning from the gardener for? Here's what it is. God is making you what you already are. You already are a child of God. You already are a citizen of the kingdom. You already are a true disciple. You are already cleaned. Your sins are already forgiven. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are now having eternal life in and through. You are a new creation. Right? But you also know there's some things that you need to get rid of. There's sin. There's habits. There's websites. There's some relationships. There's some words. There's some attitudes. There's some things in your heart that need to be pruned. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch, right? And it's not that the Father is punishing you. Punishment is about the past. And Jesus took your punishment. So this difficulty is not punishment, it's what? Discipline. Punishment is about the past. Discipline is about the future. He wants you to be more fruitful. You're not fruitful now. You're going through some pruning, okay? Because he knows there's some sin in your life. You're going to keep on sinning if I don't prune you. There's some things that you say to certain people that are hurtful that you're going to keep on saying those things if I don't prune you. There's some habits. We don't need to go all into that. You know what it is, right? So let me prune you now so that when I appear, when the Son of God comes in all its glory, you will be ready. And oh, it'll be glorious. So what's our attitude now in the pruning? Hebrews chapter 12. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, what does it produce? What's the fruit? It produces a harvest of righteousness. That's the fruit. Well, what's righteousness? That I'm a good person? No, no, no. Righteousness is right relationship. Relationship with God. Relationship with others. Relationship with yourself. Relationships of peace. Relationships of partnership. Relationships of submission. Relationships of mutual respect. It means you're wise. You're kind. You're generous. Right? People are happy to be with you, and you are happy to be with them. That's righteousness. If you see someone who's hurting, you give so that they can become whole. If you see someone who's empty, you give so that they can be filled. That's righteousness. When you see a poor person, you give so that out of your poverty, they can become rich. Okay? That's righteousness. And so the pruning and the discipline and the hardship and the trial and the testing, the loneliness, the searching, the longing, when that's done, you will come forth as a wise, loving, generous, fruitful branch. Why? Because you haven't given up. You've held on. You've abided. Hallelujah. That's hope, that's food, that's energy, that's life, that's the gospel. And so Jesus, we love you, we thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vine. Lord, help us to be branches that will not give up and will abide even through the difficulty. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.